First, I want to thank everyone for coming. I want to especially thank Yeshiva from Boca for joining us. Obviously, it's a tircha, it's a trip. I think if the Yeshiva that Tzal would be alive, would be here, he would very much want the two yeshivas to join together. He would want us to have an aftis together. I think an aftis is a siman, siba, of really feeling a shared mesira. And I think that's extremely important. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should continue having many events together. I realize that might mean that we have to matriach to go up to Boca, which I'm not so happy about. But the Maisa, I do think it is important. Today, as most of you know, is the 74th Yahrzeit of Rav David. That's out. And a number of the fellows expressed to me a little question why the yeshiva is making such a big deal. No one in the yeshiva learned by Rav David. We're not Hasidim. We don't make, you know, Rav David was a very chashev gadol, but there were other gadolim. We're not claiming he was the only gadol. There were many gadolim in America. You know, we're not for us to decide who's greater, but sure, why are we making someone 74 years ago that no one here ever learned from, no one ever met? Why should we make a yahrzeit special for him? And I think part of the answer is that there's really a lack of clarity of what the mission of the yeshiva stands for. I suspect that if you would ask a person, and even many fellows in the yeshiva, what was Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal's view of his mission in life? And they would say he was, you know, they had to pick one sentence, because in today everything has to be knocked down into one sentence. A whole person's life is squashed into one sentence. So they would say the yeshiva's goal in life was Arbat Zaira. And, you know, there's some truth to that. I think if you go to the yeshiva's dinner, that's probably what they will tell you. It's probably a good selling point for raising money. And, you know, that would probably be the emphasis. But I don't really think that's true. Arbat Zaira is definitely part, but I don't think that was it. I think it's only the ikar was something else, and Arbat Zaira is just memeda included in that. And it's something that I think that there are many people, even in the Talmidei yeshiva, and shortly outside the yeshiva, that don't really understand what the message or the yeshiva viewed his achrayas, and what he felt ours as the Talmidim of the yeshiva, the achrayas that falls on us. I want to start about, I don't remember how many years ago, probably over 30 years ago, when I was in the yeshiva, the yeshiva used to every year, as far as I recall, ask Rav Yaakov Zatzal to come speak. Rav Yaakov used to say that Rav David was his closest friend, I believe. Rav Yaakov said that when he came to America, even in Europe, he said he assumed when he comes to America, he'll get a job by Rav David. And he called, when he came to America right away, he called Rav David to join with him in the yeshiva. Rav David said it was just not possible. The finances at that time couldn't even finance one person. But they were very close. And Yeshiva used to always call to ask Rav Yaakov to speak at the yahrzeit. And Rav Yaakov did once speak, but not before my time. We have a transcript. Someone taped it, so there is a transcript. It was printed in this little booklet here, Rav Yaakov's speech. But in my time, Rav Yaakov never came. Basically, Rav Yaakov, those who know, was very makpin on his health. He was that was one of his shitas. As an older person at that time, he used to, after the Aguda convention, he'd go to the Aguda convention, and then he would come down to Florida for the summer, basically, winter. He did not want to stay in Muncie for the winter. He held it was a sakana for an older person to be in Muncie, where there's a snow and you can slip. You know, other cheshbon was also busy, obviously. But Kemat, almost always, by the time the yahrzeit came, he was not in New York. And for one reason or another, he never spoke. So I believe it was my idea. I'll take credit. At least I think I once asked the yeshiva. So listen, if Rav Yaakov can't come to the yeshiva, so let's go to Rav Yaakov. And, you know, so it won't be on the yard site. So I don't even know how many people. It was at least one, two, three cars. We drove up. We made an appointment. And we drove up to Muncie. And Rav Yaakov spoke to us about Rav David. And what I believe Rav Yaakov said, well, one of the things that he said, maybe I combine it a little bit what I heard from other people, but basically what he said was as follows, that we grew up in a different world. We grew up in America. We do not really understand what life was like in Europe. He says in America, you have cars, airplanes, roads, television. Now we have internet, telephone. Basically, we're all connected. It says Europe was backwards. And each yeshiva was, in a certain sense, totally isolated. Lemire, Radin, these were dinky little cities. I don't even think there was a train that went to Lemire or Radin. You had to get it. I don't even think there was a road. I mean, there was probably a dirt road, whatever. They had to travel on. You had to go by buggy. And therefore, each city in Europe was developed, each yeshiva developed its own, not just culture, but its own hashkafa and shita. It was in isolation, was able to develop on its own. To the point that, I'm pretty sure he said, if not him, it was someone else, a different gadol, that you could tell a person from what yeshiva went to just by looking at his clothes. Because, not typically necessarily because it was a different hashkafa, it was a different country. It was a different guy coming from a different country. And in this country they wear these clothes, in this country they wear these clothes. Maybe it also was a different shita and hashkafa, but the yeshivas therefore were in isolation. And as such, each yeshiva developed its own hashkafa. And he said there were some very strong machloikism in Europe that we perhaps are not aware of. There were machloikism in learning. Rav Pleshinsky, I remember, told me, though I was told later I can't repeat it, so I'm not repeating it. But he said there was one of the famous, two Gedolei HaDor, one of them wrote a famous sefer, I'm not telling the name, but a sefer that everyone heard of here, and the other Gadol said that he was right in his sefer less than 10 times. it's like, it was a sefer that everyone learns, that the other Gadol didn't agree with his derech of learning. There was a machlekesim between Rav Shimon, right? Rav Pshinsky had a maisa that at Rav Shimon's Levaya, there was a fast lane maisa. Rav Shimon's Levaya, he was there. And someone was mamas with Rav Shimon, and he said he's the greatest Rosh Hashiva of the generation. And then the next person got up, and he said the oldest, and he said the greatest, and he said the oldest, because it was a machlekes. In whether Rav Shimon was the greatest or the oldest, because there was a machlokes in Rav Shimon's derech. And one guy told me that Rav Baruch Beer wouldn't let his son learn by Rav Shimon. There was tremendous machlokes in learning between the different drachim. And surely when it came to hashkafas, Musar, we are big followers of Musar. But how many of us know the machlokes in Europe against Musar? Besides, Rav Chaim Brisker was a Gadol HaDor, was supposedly against Musar. But after him, there was the Rav of Kovna, there was Rav Yitzhak Ochanan's son, was supposed to be very much against Musar. They wanted to put Musar in Chayrim in certain yeshivas. Navardik, for sure, they wanted to put in Chayrim. Rashir has a story that they called, Rav David was called the Musar Mushchasim. Musar was not so simple. It was quite controversial. And among the different schools of Musar, they say that the author of Navarnik said that if he had an axe, he would chop down Kelm, because he didn't approve of Kelm. And there was machlokesim. And the reason Rav Dov Katz wrote a whole sefer called Pumas HaMusar to explain the machlokes about the Musar. Apparently, for whatever reason, he wrote the sefer, and then he decided never to reprint it. So it is not, you cannot get it anymore. It's not printed. It's Tznuas HaMusar, they reprint. But his The last volume of the Tanuas HaMusar, it's called Pumas HaMusar, is not in print. It's not reprinted. But in there, he tells Maisim, he tells a story of a certain Gadol that he said on his deathbed, the thing, the schus that he's counting on the most when he gets to Shamayim is that he fought his whole life against Musar. Go figure that out. So what the Gadolim said is a pshat is because we don't know what Musar was. And we don't know what the Derech of learning was. He explained it as follows. And this is what Rav Yaakov said. He says, America is a great place. It's not just America. America claims fame is that it's a melting pot. That's what we claim. The melting pot is you take people from all different countries, and we have, if you know, when it comes to food, we have pizza, so you can have Italian food, and we have, sushi, I don't know where that comes from, I don't know, and you know, we have food from all over the world. We have the best of all the foods. In the same sense, what America did in Ruchnius is the same thing. American went ahead and did a melting pot. And it took the best of each yeshiva, so to speak, and it blended them together. And that's a great thing. Chas v'shalom. Rabbi Yaakov was not saying anything against the yeshivas. He was, if anything, complimenting them. There's an amazing thing. What they were able to do in America is they merged together. You read in the beginning of the introduction to the Granat, and he brings there how they said, I don't understand it, but Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said how they took the Granat and Rav Chaim and Rav Baruch Bir and Rav Shimon, and they made one huge derech out of it. So that what they did in the world is they were somehow, the Gedolim were able to figure out to take the ikker, or the highlight, or the main parts of each of the drachim, and blend them together, and make one great derech, with all the minus of all the drachim, minus the extreme parts of each derech, bedavka leaving out the parts of the drachim that were controversial, that were why people got upset. Why has no one ever talked today about putting Musar in Chayrim? Because Musar today has nothing in it that anyone would have a Havamina put in Chayrim. Because Musar today is missing. They went ahead and they borrowed a certain part of Musar, a certain part of Chassidus, a certain part of other forms, and we made one beautiful derech. So Rav Yaakov said, it's a very, very good thing. Best of everything. But Mitzad Sheni, and they're both right. In a certain sense, it's a tragic. Why? Because in America, so you have the best of the certain of Italian food, and you don't have the worst. It's a big deal. I don't say worst, wrong word. But you don't have certain parts. But Torah, every part of Torah is Kaddish. Torah was Eidu v'Eidu Divrei Elokim Chayim. And these, the different chalokim of Torah were made by Gedolei Olam. For whether it was 100 years, 50 years, I don't know the history. And he says, and if we have chalokim of Torah that were left out, when they went ahead and they merged the derech of Rav Shimon and Rav Baruch Bir, who were in stira to each other, and they somehow made a merger, so the way they made the merger is they had a change slightly, meaning certain radical parts of Rav Shimon's derech we don't do, and certain radical parts of Rav Baruch Bir's derech we don't do, and certain radical parts of the Granat's derech we don't do, and then you can put them all together and make one beautiful derech. But the mice of the Granat held of all that radical part, and Rav Shimon held to that radical part, and Rav Baruch Bir held to that radical part, and he held that was Torah, and that chedek of Torah is, he said, it was lost. And losing a chedek of Torah, Rav Yaakov said, is tragic. It's a tragedy. So it's a bracha shein kamayu. And that's the beauty of America, where you even have Hasidism and Musar can be mixed together. But on the other hand, there's a tragedy. There's a Gemara in Temura on Tes Zayin. The Gemara brings that when Moshe died, so whatever reason Yeshua said something, so maybe he shouldn't have said one line, but whatever it is, so Yeshua was punished and he forgot a certain, so he forgot 300 halachas and he had 700 sfeikas. So undo Kol Yisrael to Hargo. So Klai Yisrael wanted to kill him. So Yeshua sort of panicked. What's he supposed to do? He's going to be killed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Where Elohim Rechol Yafshar, I can't tell you because it's a din of Obed Shemayim. Tardem in Milchama. The only way to save your life is to get the Klai Yisrael busy. So distract them by going to war." So that's what Yeshua do. That's the only way to save his life. And then eventually, as Neo Ben Konis went ahead and was through Pilpul, he brought back those halachas. But the Gemara says that there were a certain number of halachas that Yeshua was forgotten when Moshe died. Because Yeshua, there was a taina on Yeshua. Because Yeshua, when Moshe was dying, Moshe asked Yeshua, "Is there anything you want to ask?" And Yeshua said, "I know, I don't have to." So that was a pigam, they should say such a thing, and therefore he was punished to forget. The Shaida obviously says, well, what about everyone else? There were other Talmid HaChamim in the door. There was Pinchas, there were 20 of Talmid HaChamim, there were Gedolei Olam. This is the door on Midbar, 40 years in the Midbar, Ananei HaKavod. So okay, so Yeshua forgot. What about everyone else? So what you have to say is, they didn't know it. Chatzchila, Yeshua was the one who was, Lo Mosh, Mitoch Oel. These were not, so obviously, the halachas that we're talking about are not, it's not that Yeshua forgot tefillin. If he forgot tefillin, so he could have asked Pinchas, how do you do tefillin? We're talking about halachas that are probably Nogea once in a million years, and only Yeshua got the Messiah on those halachas. And his clarity, he had certain sfeikas. And it's very likely today we also don't know those halachas. I would doubt it very much. And okay, you have a suffix if once in 100 years it happens, so you're machmir. But the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael's reaction when Yeshua forgot is they wanted to kill him. And it seems it was justified. That was the right reaction. Yeshua should have been killed at that point. So Pliatsuma, why do you want to kill Yeshua? Okay. So he forgot a few halachas. He's still the Gadol Ador. He's still the Manig Ador. He's still a great Rebbe. He's still a great Mechanech. He's going to lead Klal Yisrael. Okay, so he doesn't know these halachas. He's the same as other people. He used to know an extra halachas and he forgot them. But what it seems from the Gemara that if you forget, if Yeshua had a job, his job was to transmit the halachas from Moshe. And he didn't do his job properly because of something he did caused him to forget his halachas, then he's chayav misa. I don't care that you're a great Rebbe and you can say a pupu shir and you're a great mechanech and mechadesh and about musr and you'll give musr shmuzim. You didn't do your job. Your job was to give over Torah from Moshe. And if there's something missing, even if it's some almost not so nogei halacha, and we can always be machmir, and it's not like we're going to be doing a surim, but we have sfeikas. So there are rules when you have a safek. But that means he did not do his job, and he was chayav misa. I heard the same vart from Rav Zeido Epstein. He said that Gemara says that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva will all die because of the Nogu Kovet Zedazah. Yes, the Kasha, first of all, it's not Mistavrit. Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, we're not Nogu Kovet Zedazah. Tarot says it means on some Dakas level. So he says, so where do we ever find that for being not knowing Kovet Zedazah, you're Chayiv Misa? Especially if it was only a Dakas. How come no one else in all the history of the world we ever find was Chayiv Misa for Nogu Kovet Zedazah? Boom. Only all the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were over this Avera and no one else. So he said, shot is, that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva had a job. Their job was, the Iker job was to teach the Rebbe's Torah. Rabbi Akiva was the one that was Mechadesh, Ve'after Re'acha Kamoicha Zeklau Godo Batorah. So that's their, one of their Iker Chiyuvim, is to teach the world Ve'after Re'acha Kamoicha. Someone else, that wasn't his job. So if he's not going to be Nagu Kovet Zebizeh, that's not such a big deal. I'm not sure enough Chayav Misa. But if you're a Talmud Rabbi Akiva and you don't teach properly V'Ahavta Re'acha Kamoicha, then you're pogeya in your job. You're not giving over your Torah of your Mesorah and your Chayav Misa. So what I think is, if you would have asked the Rosh Yeshiva, the Tzau, what he envisioned, his achrayas, is that he envisioned his achrayas is that Rav David had a certain shita. Rav David was a close Talmud of Radin, the Granat. Shiva himself was a son-in-law of the Granat's oldest son. And Rav David was a close Talmud of the Alter. And he came to America teaching these Torah the way he learned in Radin and the way he learned in and by the altar. What Rav Yaakov said is that in America there is another derech, which might be, it could be Rav Yaakov held a better derech. Again, we're not chas v'shalom. But Rav Yaakov, I remember he said, but he's such a bracha that we, the Maisa, we want to keep the Derech of Europe alive. He says, I heard him say it in my own ears, and it's printed in the Sefer. Anyway, we're bringing Raya. That Rav Yaakov said that Baruch Hashem, that the yeshiva is able to keep a certain chedek of Torah alive that otherwise would have been lost. And I think if that was, I understood, that was what drove the Rosh Yeshiva. He had an achrayas. Achrayas, he used to talk about that this is, he was given a job, even when he thought the yeshiva wasn't successful, he can't quit, because this was his job. He was given a job, a mission. He has to keep this chedek of Torah. I remember a few years ago, when she was still alive, there was a shaida came up in the yeshiva that the Mishnah Brura paskins that a girl, after she's in Arusa, has to cover her hair. And the minig and the oidam, which is not just a minig, it's based on kedoyde apayskim. I think that's where Moshe held. I believe the minig in America usually is at a chasana. The kawa does not cover her hair. I believe that's a minig, at least in many, many chashiva circles. And many chashiva shashiva's daughters do not cover their hair at the chasana. They wait till after. I don't know if everyone, I believe that was Ramesha Shita, and I believe, that's except. And for many girls, it's a major thing to cover their hair at the chasana. This is their day, and they feel a shaita is ugly and ive, and that pump on that day, I have to put on a shaita. So it's a very emotional thing for many girls, and there's definitely harbe amal ismoch. And there are many, and that's the minig in most places, I believe. Comes and Roshiva held, okay, they should cover him. Roshiva was a big believer, you follow the Mishnah Brura. So the Shaida came up in the yeshiva. What happens? You get a guy in the yeshiva getting married to a girl. She's not from we're not connected to Chavetz Chaim by family, and all her friends don't cover her hair. She doesn't want to cover her hair. To her, it's very meaningful not to cover her hair at the chasana. She says, my friend is her father is a big Rosh Yeshiva, a big place. She didn't cover her hair. Why should I cover my hair? So I believe, again, I'm not saying halacha the ma'isa, but I believe the Rosh Yeshiva told the Rosh Yeshivas, the younger Rosh Yeshivas there, the new Rosh Yeshivas, that they cannot be misad or kedushin. Why? It's such against the yeshiva. They have yesh makom al mi lismoch, and it's shalom bayis, and it's such a, why in the world that and it's not my, it's her aveira. If it's an aveira, it's not me. So she's not, but she has what to rely on. She can rely on Rav Moshe. Something wrong with she wants to rely on Rav Moshe. And what I believe I heard Rav Shiva said is because this halacha is being forgotten. There's a halacha in the Mishnah Brura that's being forgotten. We can't let the halacha be forgotten. It's not that there's not, of course there's a shita that says it's okay. But there's a shita that says it's not okay, and that's what we follow. And now the world is forgetting that shita. There's a part of Torah is being forgotten. A mitzvah, a din Torah, the Chofetz Chaim shita is being forgotten. The Mishnah Brura shita being forgotten. And we can't let that happen. So we have to make a stand. We can't, I have to make a stand. I don't know if that was the Maskana. Maybe there the Reshiva changed. I'm not saying the might, but I remember that was at least at one point, that was his, he felt that way. That you have to, we have a tremendous achrayas to keep the chalokim of the Torah as it was given to us. And I think that was the Reshiva's drive, Reshiva felt, that was his mission. And if people who came to became Talmidim of the yeshiva, he expected that to be their mission. I know I was a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael for 14 years. Yeshiva used to come, that's how he used to come every year for Chanukah. That was a minute. He came for Chanukah. And we used to have a Chanukah Mesiba, and they used to invite all the alumni that were there. There was a nice number of alumni who were in Eretz Yisrael. And the Reshiva used to speak. And the amazing thing is, the Reshiva every year said the same speech, as far as I recall. You know, can't say for sure. But Kamat, every year he said the same speech, if not every year. I was there for, and Reshiva had an amazing memory. He was a genius in many areas, including his memory. And I'm sure he knew he was saying the same speech every year. But he basically said the same speech because he said the Shmuz, it's on the Pasuk, Lo Yosar Shevim Yehuda, that the Ramban says that the reason why the Chashmonaim were all wiped out, the Gemara and Bava Basra, that there's nobody left from the Chashmonaim today, is because they went ahead and the Chashmonaim did not follow the Mesoira of Yehuda, of Yaakov, well, Yosar Shevim Yehuda, because Yaakov said that the Melucha should be Yehuda. So even though the Ramban says the Farish, they did it l'shem Shamayim, and they did it l'shem Chinuch, and they did it because otherwise they felt Torah wouldn't be Mekuyim, and they saw the Malchus based of it, were not acting properly. But the Yeshiva said, l'shem Shamayim and Cheshbonis, but you gotta stick to the Messiah. And that was the message he said every year, because that was the message he wanted the Talmidim to hear. It's hard, they were in Chinuch in Eretz Yisrael, it's very hard to stick to the Messiah. Very hard, and you probably won't do as well in Chinuch, in Eretz Yisrael, if you're sticking to the Chafetz Chaim Messiah, because it's not what people are used to. And you can accomplish more in Chinuch, very likely, if you change from the Messiah. And therefore, many of the Talmidim might say, listen, so I'll change a little bit from the Messiah, because listen, what's more important? And Reshiva say, no. That was a taina on the Chashmonaim. They were also doing it l'shem Chinuch. They were doing it l'shem Shamayim. They wanted to save Klal Yisrael from the Yevanim. But you can't change your Messiah. Person has a Messiah, that's his Chiyuv. So what comes out is that what the idea, the concept, now, as far as the people here, I'm not saying that's your Messiah. We're not saying, again, there are many, many wonderful yeshivas, and they're terrific, and if the guy wants to go switch to a different yeshiva, it's fine. But if you end up staying in this yeshiva, then you, at some point, that does become your Messiah, and then you have a chiyuv to go ahead and follow the Messiah. That's part of, and I think that's what what we're doing by celebrating the yard site. We're celebrating commemorating the yard site is what we're basically trying to point out, that the yeshiva is rooted in a Messiah. The fact that we're commemorating a yard site of 70 some odd years, and it's Rav David, we could have just as well done the Alter's yard site, or the Chavetz Chaim's yard site, or the Granat's yard site. It wouldn't make any difference, really. It just said, that was a minig. The Reshiva used to do his father's yard site. But the point that we're trying to make is that the yeshiva is not, it's not a new hashkafa, and it's not something that we do because it's more practical. And the people in the world think, oh, why do Chavetz Chaim dress the way they do? Because they do kiriv, and they want to get the certain students, so they have to dress this way. It has nothing, the yeshiva does what it does, many things, because that is the Messiah that they have, whether it's popular or not popular, it doesn't make a difference. obviously, most things were the same. Torah is the same Torah. Everyone keeps the same kashrus. But those nuances, which Rav Shiva held, every nuance of Torah, whether it's a nuance of covering the hair, it's a nuance. He say it's a minor, theoretically minor, but every part of Torah is a tremendous chashivas. Torah is precious. Every ois of Torah is precious. So every ois of the Messiah that the Yeshiva felt that he had from his Rav David, who learned by the Chavetz Chaim, who learned by the Granat, who learned from the altar, he felt as precious. And therefore, the commemorating the Yahrzeit is a statement of commitment that we are, that is rooted in a Messiah, that we're committed to a Messiah, Be'ez Hashem will continue with a Messiah, and that the Yeshiva, Be'ez Hashem, should continue to be successful to keep this Messiah alive. I just want to ask the Rashiva of the Yeshiva in Boca, Rabbi Abashinsky, to speak.